My attitude sets me free. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, the Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, the Worldwide Healing Ministry in Campo, California, and
School of the Master.
The School of the Master in Campo, California, bringing you Absolute Philosopher. Now, our topic this evening is what?
My attitude sets me free.
And again.
My attitude sets me free.
My attitude sets me free. Our attitude usually gives us a bind. It ties us in a knot. Our attitude stops us from enjoying life. It stops us from being whole and perfect. It stops us from everything. Now, Ellen received a postcard, a birthday card belated, from one of her students. Actually, it probably came on time, but she didn't show it to us till just now. And in there, the writer writes, "Cara Ellen, hello, sweetness. I see you as I always do, whole and perfect. I see peace, harmony, and happiness and love with all that you are." Okay, now. What sort of an attitude is he building in his consciousness about Ellen? Is he seeing Ellen whole and perfect? Well, what is he seeing her whole and perfect from, or in, or around? I am the ideal
spirit, mind, and body.
I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, what is there an unideal spirit, mind, and body?
No.
So I am spirit, mind, and body. Sort of makes it less interesting, doesn't it? But I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, people say to me oftentimes, "Have a safe journey." And I ask them, "Safe from what? What am I going to be experiencing that I need to be safe from?" I say, "I surround myself with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness. That's all I know." And they say, "Hey, that's good, that's good, that's good." And I say, "Well, that's what I say for myself." Now, I don't care if you want to be safe on your journey because you're worried that you're going to have an accident. You're worried that something's going to happen to the car. In Hogan's Heroes, the men end up saying to the colonel, Clink, they say, "Your car is in perfect shape. Your car is in perfect shape." And then Clink says, "Find out what's wrong with it." Because he doesn't believe them when they say it's in perfect shape. If they say to him, "Your car is almost ready. Your car is pretty close, you know. I'm taking it now." And he takes it. And, of course, if he does it before it's ready to go, the wheel falls off or some other thing happens that makes him leery of what it is. And at one point, Hogan was standing talking to one of his people just outside the car as the colonel got in, and Hogan said, "Well, I hope we've got everything fixed now. He's taking it on a trial run, and I'm sure it'll be all just fine. I'm sure it'll be just fine." So Clink got out of the car, and he says, "Hogan, you're going in the car down these steep hills and so forth, and you're going to ride in it." And so Clink got out, and Hogan got in, and then Hogan drove by the office of the commander, and at that moment, his secretary, dressed in a very fetching outfit, came out the door and got in the car with Hogan. And of course, the commander was very unhappy. But you see, these are things that happen. When you start building up cases, "I hope you have a safe journey. I hope everything works out all right." Or you believe anybody else, you don't trust yourself. Now, why would a commander of a prisoner of war camp put his vehicles in the hands of the prisoners to repair and not have any of his men check it over first? I mean, you got to really believe in those prisoners. So, he had, what was the attitude of Commander Klink? Commandant Klink. His attitude was that everybody wants to do nice things for him. Nobody wants to hurt him. And, of course, everybody did nice things for him. And as his boss said, he is too stupid to be a saboteur. So he got off the hook on that problem. Because if anyone is found to be a saboteur, they found the end shortly thereafter, or the Russian front. Now, what are you going to find? What do you find? What do you want in your life? What is our title?
Attitude Sets Me Free. My Attitude Sets Me Free.
My Attitude Sets Me Free. Now, what are we setting ourselves free from or free to? My attitude sets me free to think any positive thought I want to think. My attitude sets me free to live in any harmonious way that I'd like to live. My attitude sets me in the position of thinking that I am absolutely handsome, I'm absolutely beautiful. I am absolutely independently wealthy. And I don't have to say absolutely, you know, but I'm independently wealthy. My attitude allows me to do all these things. I was thinking as I was watching that Hogan show that every time he turned around, he says, the girls are, you know, fall all over me. I'm irresistible to the girls, you know. Mm-hmm. The girls just love me. Well, that's his attitude. Now, he didn't even see how the girls disdained him, how they wanted to push him aside. He saw that they loved him. That's all he saw. That was his attitude. Now, was his attitude wrong? Not for him. Did he have a good opinion of himself? You bet he did. Did his attitude set him free to live as though it were so? He had more girls and more love affairs and more experiences than anybody in the whole German army, so to speak. And yet, he never was close to any of them. Never was close to any of them. As they said to his first girlfriend, they said, did he ever kiss you? No, he only held my hand, you know. And yet, the way Klink described it, you'd think that he was having a torrid love affair, you know. But, you see, when you're free, when your attitude sets you free, you can do everything and enjoy everything and experience everything. And everything's wonderful. It's fantastic. Now, are you ready for that sort of thing? Are you ready for that? And you say, oh, sure, I'm ready for that. Well, I don't think B is. When B goes home, she's going to be a monk at large. She'll no longer be a campus monk, but she'll be a monk at large. And she'll be living her life as a monk at large. So now, what does a monk do? What does a monk at large or here, what does a monk do? Well, a monk has a perfect attitude. So, what is B going to see? She is going to see her husband as the ideal man. The ideal man. Not just ideal husband, but the ideal man. And now, when she goes home, that's her challenge to herself, to see her husband as the ideal man. You see? When she goes home and things look like they normally are, and there's ups and downs and ins and outs, and then she looks at it and she says, see, I wish I were back at the monastery, you know. But all she has to do is to do what?
All is in divine order.
Her attitude sets her free.
Her attitude sets her free. I like it when we repeat my title,
yes,
you know.
Right.
Her attitude sets her free. So now, what is her attitude about her husband?
He is the ideal man.
And what is your attitude about yourself?
I am the ideal woman.
Wow. And what's your attitude about your miserable kids?
I have the ideal family.
I have the ideal children.
Yeah.
And family.
Yeah.
And that's all good too.
Yeah.
Now, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren. Now, what about his family? That ideal husband of yours, how is his family?
Happy.
This is the ideal family.
Oh, I see. This is the ideal family. How nice of you to get there. Yeah. Don't be so slow. Don't be so slow getting there. My husband's family is the ideal family. Every time I'm with my husband's family, I just feel like I'm with my own mother and father. Yeah? Right? Now, when you're with your husband's wife, husband's mother or husband's father, what happens?
He has the ideal family too.
Well, of course he has the ideal, but not two. He has the ideal family, period. Uh-huh. Now, I will throw another barb here. They're dead.
They are always ideal.
Not they're always. They are ideal. See, the minute you say always or just or only, you're putting terms in there that you don't want. Now, is Oscar's mother and father the ideal mother and father?
Yes.
Is Oscar's mother and father the ideal man and woman?
Yes.
Is Oscar's other children the ideal children?
Yes.
In all circumstances, at all times?
Yes.
Do you ever fall in a trap and see them differently?
No.
Do you ever fall in the trap and see anyone differently than how?
Than ideal.
Than ideal. Do you?
Yes.
No. You never fall in the trap and see anyone other than ideal. I know, it's English, I can understand that. Everyone is ideal.
Yes.
And you have no capacity to see them any other way, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now. Anita.
Yes.
Do you ever, 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 ever do anything that you shouldn't do?
No.
Are you ever saying anything you shouldn't say?
No.
Are you ever spending anything that you shouldn't spend?
No.
Are you ever buying anything you shouldn't buy?
No.
Are you having the greatest fun, the greatest time of your life, and the greatest fun in your life, being yourself and having fun?
Yes.
Are you the ideal witch?
Yes.
You're the ideal witch?
Oh, to me.
Yes. Like Samantha witch.
Samantha witch, right. Now, okay, now let's play with that for a second. What is the ideal witch?
A magic lady?
Unlimited
what?
Unconditional loving witch.
Unlimited and unconditionally loving witch. Right?
Yes.
Okay, now, why is it you have to be a witch to be unconditionally loving witch?
You don't.
You don't. No. Well, why, what makes her a witch if the things you just said are what makes her a witch?
Because she does things.
I'm sorry?
She does things.
She just thinks.
No, she does different things that I.
She does different things.
Thought I couldn't do. Now I know.
Oh, so you thought like a human being instead of like a divine being, like she thinks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you think as a divine being?
Yes.
No. Now, just answer me this question if you wish or not. That's your choice.
Yeah.
If we think everything that the witches do is super, why do we think witches are not necessarily on the high end of your social ladder? Good question, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, why do we think that witches are not nice? Is Tabitha not nice?
In my world, witches are nice.
Now, don't say your world.
Okay.
Witches are nice. Can you speak from any other world than your own?
No.
Then don't say it.
Okay.
All witches are fabulous.
Yes.
Every witch is beautiful.
Yes.
Is every warlock beautiful?
Yes.
Are you beautiful?
Yes.
And can you do anything that anybody else can do?
Yes.
Witch or not?
Yes.
What gives the witch the strength, the power, the ability to do what they do?
They know that they are divine.
Yeah. They know they can do it.
Yes.
They have no doubt they can do it. They know they're divine. Okay. Now, why is it that you don't think that right now and you could? Why don't you think that right now?
I think it right now. I do.
I do. I think it right now. That's right. I think it right now. So,
yes.
You see, I'm playing just a little bit of a game with you. Mm-hmm. But what's our title?
My attitude sets me free.
Now, what sort of attitude have we had about witches in the past?
Mm-hmm. A negative attitude.
We have the attitude that witches did naughty things. And we didn't really know what they did. But what's your attitude about warlocks? In the past, it was that they did naughty things.
Yes.
Now, in the present, do they do naughty things?
No.
Are they very playful?
Yes.
Yeah. So, now, isn't that a more interesting word to use than naughty?
Yes.
To say they're playful?
Yes.
Now, are you knowledgeable enough as a divine being to be so playful?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So, after we're done with our talk, you can put on a little show for us and we won't go and see Bewitched. But it's great. And what about you, Miss Ingeborg? How do you set yourself free with your beautiful attitude?
Believing in myself.
Believing in yourself. Well, now, what do you have to believe in?
All the qualities I express, I have.
Well, that's nice to say that, but it's nicer to say the qualities. Now, what qualities do you have?
Being true to myself.
You're true to yourself?
Yes.
That's great. And what other qualities do you have?
I like me.
Well, that's a good quality. Another one?
I speak my word and know it is done.
You speak your word and know that it's done. That's kind of natural, because when you speak your word and it's done, you know it's done then, don't you? Yeah. Okay. What else? You know, I could go on asking you these questions all night long, and you should never run out of answers. What is one answer that you can give again and again and again and is perfectly acceptable?
I am a divine being.
Right. And would you say it loud enough so I could hear it?
I am a divine being.
I am a divine being. Now, what does a divine being mean to you?
Divine being means that I'm not behind the physical is something else.
You're what?
Behind the physical exists something else.
I didn't get those words.
Behind the physical.
Behind the future?
Physic.
The physical.
Physic. Is something.
Oh, you said the physic?
Yes.
No, the physical
body.
Huh?
Behind the physical body.
The physical body.
Is something else.
Is something else. And that's being divine?
Yes.
The divine is behind the physical body.
Yes.
Well, now, if you were really honest, what would you say?
I'm God.
You would say all is one. The physical and the divine are one. So we can't say behind the physical is the divine, because that would mean then that it's hiding on us. We are not necessarily paying attention to it, but it's right there right out in the open, you know. Yeah. So the physical and the divine are one. Okay. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you good?
Yes.
Very good?
Very good.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Yes.
And Ellen, what are you?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And on that note, we will say good night, Joseph, wherever you are. Your sweetness says she loves you. And you know, Ellen sent Joseph a card with a Swiss cow on it. And so Joseph took this card with the Swiss cow on it, and he put it up on his wall, and he and his buddy will not say in front of the cow anything that might disturb the cow. And he says, we don't say the word beef, around her or barbecue. And she sends you her moo-moo love for your birthday.
That's very good.
Now that's creative. That's imaginative.
That's
and that's the way we all want to be.
Yeah.
Creative, imaginative, and beautiful.
He's very creative.
So, Ellen?
Yes, sir.
What is our topic?
My attitude sets me free.
My attitude sets me free. Let's say it all together.
My attitude sets me free.
Once again. My attitude sets me free. And once again.
My attitude sets me free.
I like me. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.